All right. Thank you, Brother Chris. If you've noticed this morning, the music, the choir, and so forth, has all been geared toward the fact of Mother's Day. And we'll continue the message that way this morning. If you'll go with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 2. And Stephen got into the story a little bit, so I'll not have to maybe put all the background to it this morning as we deal with the story of Moses and basically how the God moved women in Moses' life to preserve him and to be the factor that made it possible for him to be the world changer that God used him to be. And in Exodus chapter 2, we'll go down about the first 10 verses, and it is a story I'm sure that you know about, but kind of see the evidence of providence, of God's hand, even in it as we go through these 10 verses this morning. It says, "There went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi." By the way, he married in the Lord there like he was supposed to. That's important, folks. "And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him." You notice they put him in a certain place. I think they knew the place. God knew the place where the princess was going to come to bathe. Don't you think that? "And the sister stood far off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the baby wept." I think God said, "Moses, time to cry. This young lady is looking at you, and we need to win her heart. So just go ahead and yell." And that's my version. Amen. "And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.'" She was not fool. She knew who it was. "Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter." Can't you imagine that little crowd of the maidens and the princess and the Moses' sister all gathering right there on the bank of the Nile, and she speaks up to the princess and says, "Shall I go to call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maiden went and called the child's mother. Isn't that interesting? And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." Boy, that was a good deal. Now the mother's getting paid to take care of her own baby. "And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son, and she called his name Moses." Now I was going to ask you what Moses' mother's name was, but Stephen spoiled it this morning in Sunday school. But I still think you ought to look it up, because you don't know where it's found. And Moses, do you know what Moses means? It means one drawn out. She drew him out of the water, amen? And we see the providence of God in this thing. We see what was going on here. But what we see, ought to see, and as I think about Mother's Day, I want you to look at the motherly nature of the women that's involved. Not only Moses' mother to protect him, not only the sister to watch over him, but here's an Egyptian now. Her dad's the Pharaoh. She knows what the law is, but bless God, she don't care. She defies it. I thank God for every nurse in every hospital that defies this abortion thing today. I thank God for the people that'll stand up and say, "God first, and we'll worry about Caesar later." And that's the way that it ought to be. And here these women were used mightily in the life of a man God is going to use him as he grows up. And listen, I mean, the world got changed. I mean, this character Moses, still today they can't get away from him. And they've still got the image of what they think he looks like on the Supreme Court of the United States of America today. And yet it was a motherly nature, motherly love. motherhood, if you please, that took care of this one. And I want to say to you today, here was one saved by motherhood. And you know what our nation needs today? We need to get back to good old-fashioned motherhood. That's what we need in America right now. And as I look in the text here this morning, I want you to see that motherhood comes naturally. It was natural here. It was natural for them to want to do this. This was their feelings for it. This was the mother's feelings, the sister's feelings, the princess' feelings. It was a natural thing. And I want to say to you today, motherhood is natural. It's natural in the kingdom age. I'm talking about the kingdom of animals and beasts out there. Listen, every hunter knows you don't cross a bear when she's got the cubs with her. Amen? In fact, how many ever had a bird fly out of a tree and try to hit you on the head? You know what happened? There was a bird nest there somewhere. That was a mother bird that came down after you because you got a little bit too close to her young. What a reversal we've got today when we've educated women to think it's okay to kill their young instead of protect them. I learned as a farm boy on the farm something about the nature of motherhood in the animals. I remember Harvey and I used to take care of the chickens. We had them named. They were our pets. Harvey still won't eat chicken. I got in the ministry, I was forced to. Amen? But with all that said and done, the truth is, I remember an old hen, we had her named. We could pet her. She'd eat the corn out of your hand. But when she sat on a nest of eggs, you left her alone. And when those little biddies, that's what we called them, hatched out, you stayed away because she had flogged you. How many of you know what a flogging is? I mean, as a 3 or 4 year old kid, you got out there, that hen would come after you if you mess with those little chicks. And the truth is, that's a natural thing. And as we look around today, it's a woman's desire. It's a woman's nature to want to have a baby. Did you know that? Too many of them do it wrong, but they still have that mother's desire to have a child. Sometimes you read in the paper or see on the news where some deranged woman steals somebody else's baby. Even sometimes cut the baby out from the mother. I mean, crazy, but that's a driven desire, an urge within. It's a natural thing for that woman to want to have a baby. Now, I understand today, somebody says, I'm not going to have children. I'm going to have a career. I want to tell you the best career is the one God gave you. And God gave you the career of having the babies and raising the babies and the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that's the plan that God has. And let me say, you may can juggle and have a career and babies all at the same time, but you get to be grandma's age and you wish you had some babies so you'd have some grandkids coming around. And you'll be incomplete if you haven't done that. I mean, there may be health problems and other situations, but that's natural. Motherhood is natural. Now, motherhood's under attack today, but it's under attack by the unnatural. That's what it is. Do you know what we've come to in America? We've tried to separate sex from reproduction. Hear me good. Sex for pleasure, sex for recreation. And the truth is, God gave us a wonderful thing, an attraction between a man and a woman. Bless God, not two men, but a man and a woman. And God gave us that attraction, and he told Adam and Eve to replenish the earth, to be fruitful, to multiply. That's God's plan. And I want to tell you something, you can't improve on God's plan. But we tried to separate that. So today, you know what the separation has brought on us? It's brought murder on demand. It's brought abortion. Abortion is nothing more than birth control. It's genocide. It is the murder of the innocent. It is the shedding of innocent blood. But the whole thing behind it is that I can have the sexual pleasure without paying the consequences. Amen. Help yourself. That's why we have Satan's homosexual plan being pushed on us today. And it is a satanic plan. You see, it's been in the news this week, big time in the news this week, even on our own radio station. Did you hear where some cities are being pressured to make laws by transgender people that they can go to a church building like this and go in either restroom and we have to like it. Now, don't try it at Landmark. Amen. It won't work here, no matter what Pharaoh says. Amen. It won't work here. But that's what they're pushing. You see, they say, we just want to be, let us alone. No, 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 you won't let us let you alone. You keep putting it in our face everywhere we turn is what you keep doing. Sad truth is today, that's what's going on. Our president this week come out, who did that shock that he wanted to have a gay marriage? Did that shock anybody? Somebody said, but he was evolving. I've known that for a long time that he evolved. Haven't you? Something, he's evolved something besides an American, I'll tell you that. Help yourself. It's amazing. He and Joe Big Mouth, Foot in the Mouth Biden. And to come out and declare, I'm for gay marriage, you're against federal law. The federal law, DOMA, D-O-M-A, Defense of Marriage Act, on the books, says it's illegal. So now we're going to defy federal law because Pharaoh said so. We're going to override all of that, is what it amounts to. And I think the timing of it on Mother's Day this week was really bad. And the truth of the matter is, we're in some really bad junk. Now, the Lakeland Ledger, I'm pointing that way toward Lakeland, liberal paper that it is, just rejoiced that they could come out with an opinion, with an editorial saying how right he was. No, how wrong he was. He's wrong from the standpoint of the Word of God. Amen. And so the attack on motherhood is an unnatural attack. It's from the devil side of things. It's from the perverted side of things. It goes against the motherly instinct. Amen.
Amen.
Sad, sad, folks, we look at that today. And did you see Time Magazine's picture? That is sickening. That is making pornography out of a baby nursing its mother. To have a little boy standing up there dressed as a little boy, looked like he'd have to be at least 4 years old, and his mother standing up there posed more like a porn scene than a mother and child scene. And that's the crowd today that is pushing this stuff, and it's perversion, and it's an attack on motherhood, is what it is. Amen. Motherhood's elevated in the Bible, though, you know that? I mean, it's natural. And there's a unnatural attack on it today, but the Bible elevates motherhood. I mean, if we had time to go through it, so many scriptures. If you were to look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, listen to verse 14. And it says over there, and I will therefore that the younger women marry. Marry first now, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary. Who's that? The devil. To speak reproachfully. Listen to me. God's plan. Young lady, God's got a plan for you. Amen. Get in on God's plan. Amen. Do it God's way. Wait on God's timing and receive God's blessings when you do it the right way. Amen. Amen. The Bible elevates motherhood. You know, everybody in here knows what Jesus had to say about children. He said, suffer little children to come unto me. Allow them to come unto me. Hey, Jesus loves kids. He loves babies. Folks, what we've got going on today is national sin. Let me say this. In America, in any country, there's John Doe sinners all the time doing something wrong. That's one thing for a citizen. That's something else for some bad guys out here. But wait a minute, when we condone the worst of sins from the White House down, that's national sin. That is slapping God Almighty in the face and saying, we don't care what you said. This is the way we're going to do it.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Some of you just buckle your seatbelt. I'm not quite through. National sin. Bringing God's judgment. Do you remember the story in the Bible after Moses? After God took Moses home, how he raised up a man by the name of Joshua. He was Moses' right-hand man. You remember that? And Joshua, we sang about it. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. Remember that? And the walls came tumbling down. As you read in the Bible, Jericho was the accursed city. Do you know of all the cities that the Jews came against in war, none of the walls fell down like the walls of Jericho. Now the rest of them. When the archaeologists, to get it right, began to dig and dig into the walls, they found what we would call clay pots, big ones, planted inside, cemented, as it were, in the mud bricks of the wall. And when they sawed into them, they found out in those clay pots were the remains, bones, skeletons, skulls of babies. You see, in that pagan religion, they took the babies and they killed them and they put them in the walls, and the walls were their strongholds against the enemy. Their walls was what they trusted in. And so when God brought his people against them, those walls were accursed of God because of that dirty sin, that sacrificing of the babies that they had planted in the walls. So God said, let me show you what I think about what you've done. And the walls came down, fell down flat, the Bible says. Now, the truth of the matter is, God hates that sin as much today as he hated then. And today, I don't know if those Jericho fellows had on white coats or clean laboratories like the abortionist crowd today, but it's the same thing. The end result was killing the babies. The end result was flying in the face of God and doing that was wrong, and offering the children to their false gods. And today we are offering our seed, as it were, to the sacrifice of perverted sex, pleasure, ignored motherhood is what it amounts to. Oh, that's too bad. It's too bad. But you know, the truth is that God has judged that thing. Do you understand? I don't have time for it to read it, but if you were to go to the book of Leviticus and you were to flip over to about chapter 18 and chapter 20 in the book of Leviticus, first place you'd have to find Leviticus, wouldn't you? Just listen to me for time's sake this morning. Leviticus is one of the books in the Bible where God speaks more directly. God is speaking on a personal, direct, more than any other book. Many times in the Bible, he's speaking to a prophet. He's speaking to a disciple. He's speaking to a preacher. But in this case, he's speaking directly, and Moses wrote it down as God gave it to him directly. Now, this week, I saw preachers. Listen to me now. I heard preachers being interviewed, some on our radio station, some on the TV, saying that though the president came out for gay marriage, that though they could not scripturally back it, they still would back him. Now, I want to tell you something. You can get mad as you want to. If you're backing him just because he's half white or half black, you're wrong. If he is into sin of killing the babies, if he's into sin of condoning the homosexuality, then, my friend, God said in the book of Leviticus it was wrong. Listen to what God said. In fact, I won't take just time to read it just a minute here. In chapter 18 of the book of Leviticus, God speaking, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination." Verse 22, chapter 18. You're not going to like this one, but listen to it, because I'm showing you what's coming down the road if we continue to go. Next verse. "Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not yourselves any of these things, for in all these things the nations are defiled which I cast out before you." If you were to flip over one chapter and pick it up in chapter 20 and pick it up in verse 13, "If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." I didn't write that. God spoke it. Now, some of these preachers, I heard one so-called civil rights preacher. The newsman said, what about this thing? He said, well, I'm kind of evolving too. I've been growing in this to the president's position. And the newsman, who was a black man himself, the newsman said to this black preacher, he said, what about the book of Leviticus? And that so-called black preacher said, well, I reject that. Okay, look at me just a moment. There's God. You say, that's the Bible. That's God's Word. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, John 1:1. There's God. All right, who am I? God, I disagree with you. I'm right and you're wrong. I wouldn't want to face God under those conditions, would you? Amen. No, sir, what God says is it. As you heard in Sunday school, it's the sole authority. It stands alone as God's authority, amen? And I'm saying to you, we need to get back to good old-fashioned motherhood. Listen, it's born, motherhood is natural. It's placed in the natural breast of a kid. When a kid gets injured, you know who he wants. He don't call daddy first, he calls mama first. Mama make it feel better. Mama kiss it, make it feel better. Mama do this, mama do that. And mama somehow can. It seemed to work for me growing up and for you. It's natural. It's natural. You say, well, homosexuals have kids. No, they don't. No, they don't. They get them from somebody else. And the poor kid's got no choice. Right from this pulpit. We had a young man stand. He was the so-called adopted son of Liberace. Anybody remember Liberace? Got rich off of playing the piano. He was a homosexual. And he adopted a boy. That boy stood from this pulpit after he got saved and told us all he wanted to do was raise me to use my body. Hey, any of you remember when he was here? Several hands. Long time ago. That's the corrupt abomination God's Word calls it to be, and it is. It is. But a kid has a natural love for a mother. Say, but Johnny's got two daddies. No, he hadn't. No, he hadn't. Biologically, he's got one somewhere. If he got stole away, so what? But he's still a biological product of a man and a woman. Oh, listen, folks, we're in sick condition in America. We're begging God's judgment on us more than Sodom and Gomorrah ever begged for it in the Bible. Sad, but it's true. But kids run to mama first. They're the first ones to go to it, and they're the last. Mama's the last word on many dying boys' lips. You talk to the chaplains in the Army. More than one time they've come to a dying soldier on the field that said, tell mother something. Mother, the last word. Mother, the last one on their mind. Tell mother, I'll see her there. Chaplains can tell you that. There's something natural about that. Something very, very real about that. I think about the summer, I guess I turned 14 years old, maybe that summer. I was up in Georgia. My cousin and I was helping some of the farmers chop peanut poles. Now, I don't have time to teach you science. We had to go down in the swamp to chop those poles. And back way behind the farm, big swamp. They wanted them chopped in the swamp. They didn't want the pretty trees out that was easy to cut. They wanted you to go down and get the hard ones. So we were down there, but before we went, the older men told us something. They said, now, if you think you see something move in the swamp, if you think you might have seen somebody looking at you through the bushes in the swamp, don't get excited, just ignore it. That's before I'd ever heard of Bigfoot. They said, just ignore it. Said, what is it? They said, well, there's a young man down there. The Korean War was going. They said, there's a young man hiding in the swamp. He's AWOL. They have sent the army out here after him a time or two. They send a few men out, and they get tired of trying to find him in the swamp, and they finally decide he's not worth the expense. So they leave him there. I said, does he live in the swamp? They said, well, pretty much. But they said, I said, well, how does he eat? How does he stay alive? They said, well, he slips out of the swamp sometime and goes to his mother's house. And his mother sometime is able to take some food out in the woods for him. You know, I said, don't they go to the mother's house? My uncle said, but she's not going to help him catch him because she loves him. You hear what I said? Mother's love keeps on going no matter how bad you've been. Now, I think he was just a dumb old country boy that couldn't stay in the army is what I think. But there's been a many a mother hugging the legs of a son that was hanging by his neck for the crime that he committed because she still loves him. And that's why we say, and rightfully so, that a mother's love is the greatest picture and the greatest type of God's love that we can point to on this earth. I say to you this morning, if you've had a mother that loved you, there's a God that loves you even more. Even more. One that gave his son to die for you on the cross and pay for your sins. The Bible says that God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's a man, I think, still alive in town, told me this story one time. He said, I was working in grove work or something. He said, I went to the house of the owner. He said, I went in and said, there in that living room sat a mother with a baby. He said the baby was had grown quite a bit, not an infant baby. A little baby boy that she was still rocking. And he said, as I did business with the father, said I couldn't notice, but the baby was not normal. The baby was retarded, had an extra big head. And he said, finally, I made comment to the mother, how is the child doing, or something like that. And he said, that mother looked at me and said, you know what? Said, the child don't know me. Said, it don't know us. Said, but we love him just the same. Hey, you know what? That child couldn't return her love. Couldn't speak. Couldn't say, Mama, I love you. But she loved him. Now, some of you listening to me in Radio Land or in this building, you're like that little baby. You've never told God you love him, but he loves you anyhow. You've never loved him enough to receive his son as your Savior and get your sins paid for, but he loves you anyway. Loves you anyway. I want to say to you that while it's natural for a mother to love a baby, God has done the unnatural thing and loved his enemy, loved us while we were yet sinners. My, what a picture. So what could I do to show God my love? Receive his son he gave to die for your sins on the cross. That's what you do. You let him be your Savior. Oh, my. I'm so glad God loved me when I couldn't love him. And the Bible says we do love him, talking about saved people, believers. We do love him because he what? First loved us. He first loved me before I could love him. I've been saved a long time now, about 50 years, a little more. I've been trying to love him back for a long time, but I'm sure glad he loved me when I didn't know him and didn't love him, but he loved me anyhow. Oh yes, his love's even greater than a mother's, and a mother will love through all the bad circumstances of this old world. But God's love is greater. Do you know him? Do you know his love? I hope that you do. Let's bow our heads, please.